where the Lamb is alive. Amen. In that city where the Lamb is the light. We looking forward to that?
Let's go!
Amen. This world's not our home, is it? Let's bow our heads to Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful for Your mercy, for that faith that You placed within us, Lord, that there's a land beyond the river. There's a home that's a real home, Lord. There's a place of real life where we won't see death and sorrow and sickness, Lord, and evil as we see it here, Lord, but in a place where You are, O God. Oh, Lord, how we long for that, Father. How there's something calling to us that there's something wrong here in this life. It's just not as it should be, Lord. We don't feel like we're as we should be, Lord. Lord, we want to be in that change, oh God, in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, where the power of God will fall upon us, Lord, and we'll be changed from this mortal robe into an immortal body. Forever, Lord, eternal beings, wanting and willing to worship You, Lord, for we realize You alone are worthy. Lord, we count it a privilege to worship You on this side. Help us to overcome each and every day with our greatest enemy being ourself, Lord. Help us to overcome ourselves. May Your word penetrate our hearts today. May Your spirit fall upon each and every one of us, Lord. How we need You, Father. Lord, the world's just getting darker and darker, Lord. We just don't want to stay here anymore. Help us, Lord, today. Lift us up in the heavenly places. Bless the reading of Your word now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're standing, can we turn to Matthew? Matthew chapter 5, and I'm also going to read from 1 John chapter 4. And we've been kind of in the series about the attributes of God. It's wonderful to look at God, amen, what He is, and then to look at ourselves and say, what does He want us to be? What does He want us to be? So Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Amen. And let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. We'll start with verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to read through the end of this chapter, but 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he that loveth God love his brother also. You may be seated. God bless you. Well, praise the Lord. You know, there's no getting away from the subject of the love of God as you talk about the attributes of God, and I really didn't have a firm plan on when I was just reading the Bible one day, and it come on my heart to let's look at the attributes of God. We claim to have the Holy Ghost. We claim to have gone through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the seal of God, the token. We know we must have that. And you know, there really isn't. Brother Branham was asked one time, Brother Branham, I want to know, what is that one physical evidence, you know, that I can look at that would show me if somebody has the Holy Ghost or not? And that's always been down through time. People always want an evidence of the Holy Ghost. And really, in a way, they're drawing back from faith. And the Bible says, we are not of them that draw back from faith, but we are them that believe to the saving of the soul. So when the Pentecostal group said, well, I spoke in tongues, I got it, they actually did something wrong. It's true, the Holy Ghost will cause people to speak in tongues. We believe in speaking in tongues. But the Bible also says, do all speak in tongues. So we have to stay with the Scriptures. And you know, not everybody is a preacher. Not everybody's a prophet. Not everybody's an evangelist. Not everybody has the gifts in the same exact way. Brother Branham talked about the gift of prophecy, that it could be on one church one day and on another church another day. See, God does what he wants with his gifts. The latter rain movement, where they went wrong, they had the real love of God, but then they started to try and impart gifts on people, and they were trying to take the place of the Holy Ghost. So the point is, if we truly have the Holy Ghost, and we've been baptized into Christ by one Spirit, we are baptized into one body, then we are subject to all the gifts of the Spirit, whichever God wants to give to somebody. And the attributes of God should manifest through us. If he lives in us, right? If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, what does the Bible say? It will quicken your mortal body with that same Spirit. Amen. Don't you want God to manifest himself through you? So this was on my heart as I was praying and just, you know, meditating. I felt like God said, you know, look at me. Look unto me. Look unto me and be saved. You know, too many times we look at ourselves. We look at our flesh, and we look at our failings, and we get discouraged. But I think what we should do is look at him. Look at him and look what he is. And then recognize when his Spirit manifests through yourself. Amen. And if you don't see any of his attributes in you, then you really need to seek the Holy Ghost. Because I believe that if he lives in us, he will reveal himself to us personally, and he will manifest himself through us. Does that mean we're going to perfect this flesh? No. But we will see attributes of God manifested through us. And one of the greatest attributes of God is God's love. It's something that I stand in awe about. It's something that attracts me. The humility of God is very attractive. Of course, the revelation of his word is wonderful. But, you know, you can have a knowledge of the word, but if you don't have the Spirit of God, it just doesn't matter. Amen. Brother Bam said himself, the word itself is dead. The word is dead? I'll get thrown out of a message church if I say that. Brother Branham said, the word itself is dead unless the Spirit comes and quickens that word. So you can have word, and have not Christ. We want the Spirit and the truth. That's how he wants to be worshipped. So, of course, we can never really completely exhaust the subject of God's attributes, because the more you look at him, the more you realize how wonderful he is and how awesome he is and how far beyond our understanding he really is. So we only understand what he lets us understand. And but I love looking at this, and I realize that Jesus, if you listen to the verses we read, he is calling us to a higher calling. He's not calling us to the same calling that the world has. It's a different calling. He's not calling you and I. He's not revealing this end time truth to you and I so that we can just be nominal denominational Christians that go through the motions and don't have a real relationship with God. He's calling us to a higher calling. Like when that cloud appeared, and I believe it really was a supernatural cloud, even though people don't believe it. I believe that face so reflected Hoffman's head of Christ. If you look at the picture of Hoffman's head and the way that cloud was formed, and it was kind of a mysterious thing. And then God always operates in that realm where people can doubt it if they want. But when you look at that and how, okay, God, the infinite God, he thought about how he was going to reveal himself in Jesus Christ, and he did a perfect job, right, revealing himself in Christ. Well, when he thought about how that cloud was going to be reflected, I think he chose that Hoffman's head. Brother Branham said that picture was the closest picture. He said you couldn't ever really capture it, but that was the closest from the vision of Christ that he had. And to me, that Hoffman's head was part of a bigger picture, right? And if you look, and I had someone give me the whole painting. So I like Hoffman's head, but it's part of a bigger painting where Christ is talking to the rich young ruler. And it's right at that moment where Christ is saying to him, sell all you have, give it to the poor. There's a man in the painting, an old man who's poor and needy and sickly, and there's the rich young ruler with his rich garments on, and he's considering what Christ is saying to him, right? How many have seen the painting? Amen. It's a beautiful painting. Amen. And so it was inspired. So Christ, his face is inviting the rich young ruler to be part of an intimate crowd. I believe Christ was sincerely saying, you can be one of my disciples. Amen. And he's considering it. And the rich young ruler thought Jesus was trying to hurt him when Jesus was trying to give him something so special. Amen. And many times that happens in church. People are like, oh, that preacher's trying to hurt me. And really, God's trying to deliver you from the thing that's holding you back. Amen. See, we hold on to things that aren't helpful. When God tries to strike out at those things, it's because he's trying to set us free. God wants us to be free. So the rich young ruler, Jesus was trying to set him free from all the riches and all the worries he had about holding on to his riches and to come follow him. You know, what an invitation. Amen. And yet he walked away. And so when I look at the cloud, kind of being Christ and the message coming to people, it's an invitation to us. Come, follow me. Come be part of my intimate few. You know, and so how do we respond to that? How do we respond to that? You know, not everybody that heard the message has the message in them. In other words, not everybody that heard about Brother Branham, believes Brother Branham is a prophet, and even follows and goes to a message church is born again of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's a different experience. And that's saying, yes, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to be part of that intimate crowd. Praise the Lord. So I love to look at his attributes. We've looked at his faithfulness. We've looked at his long-suffering. We've looked at the attribute of Savior, which is so wonderful. The heart of God is a Savior. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad the heart of God is not like a judgment tormentor? Because we had no say in what God is, right? But the great God of all eternity, his heart is a Savior. He came to save sinners like you and I, right? So let's look at the love of God, and we have to realize that God's love is higher than human love. There is a human love. There is a love that we have can have amongst each other. But Isaiah 55 verse 9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." His ways are higher. So don't try and compare God to what you do. Don't try and compare God's ways and what God wants to what anybody else does. His ways are different. His ways are higher. His ways are past finding out. There's another scripture, Romans 11:33. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." See, we can never, ever, ever fully understand God. We understand what he reveals to us. And I have to say, I stand here and say, I love that Jesus Christ that God has revealed to us. I love the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. That has been revealed to me. I love the Word of God that has been revealed to me. I don't see a bunch of laws. I don't see a bunch of chains. I see instructions. If I want to please this wonderful being, God, this is how you do it. If I want to displease him, this is how you displease him. So it's all our attitude and approach to God. And the worldly man will never understand God at all. He doesn't understand even the glimpses that we get. You know, we're never going to completely understand. How can we ever in our pea brains understand this great infinite God? We can't understand everything. His Spirit quickens to us and we understand bits and pieces, right? But we're called to follow God by faith. We don't walk by sight. We don't walk by intellectual understanding and reasoning. We walk by faith. In other words, it's revealed to us there is a God. Amen. How many has that revelation today? Does anybody not know there is a God? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there's some people that claim that they don't believe there's a God, and I think that's harder to believe than that there is a God. Amen. With all the evidence that's around. And then God reveals to us personally that he's mindful of you. How many has had that revelation that God is mine? That's a wonderful, wonderful revelation. God is mindful of me. He knows me personally. He sees me. And a revelation I think you need to have is he's not against you. He's for you. And I can't give that to you. That's something you need to find from God yourself. So even though we never understand and we walk by faith, and we do need to abandon our human understanding. Remember, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Our human understanding doesn't fit into the Bible. It doesn't fit as we approach God. Our intellect and all of our human achievements don't help us with God. Don't be all proud about some human achievement and let that pride hinder you with interacting with the greatest being that ever was and ever will be. He has so much more wisdom and intellect than we can ever have. If we could just tap into Him, that we'll be far beyond anything we can ever achieve in ourselves. So we need to abandon our human understanding. We need to embrace the ways of God that Jesus Christ reveals to us. And I just want to look at this wonderful subject of the love of God. And there's a quote from Brother Branham, Sean, that first one. It says, "That is the great need of the world is dying for. And God is love. That is the great need the world is dying for. And God is love." Now you find in the church that what hindered the church has been the wrong conception of love. Now love, there's two different types of love that's real love. One of them in the Greek is called agapo, that's God's love. The other then is a perverted love from that is filial love, which means human love. Filio comes from the word fellowship. Filial love is what you have for your wife. And a man might flirt with her and insult her, and you'd shoot his brains out for over her. That's what filial love will do. It accompanies jealousy, and many other things goes with it. So it's a powerful thing, right? Filial love. But agapo love would make you pray for his sinful soul. That's the difference between the two loves. God's love is the beginning of love, it's the fountain of love, and the church today is lacking in that. That real agape love that makes you love your enemy. Oh, if we only had that kind of love, there'd be a revival that sweep this nation from coast to coast, north to south. And the reason that we do not have that love, the main reason the church is not progressing like it should, that is the main reason the church is not progressing like it should. We don't need theology. We only need real love to go with theology we already know.
Amen.
We all argue so much whether we should be baptized backwards or forwards or whatever more, but that don't make any difference how you baptize or what church you belong to or what evidences that you have that you're a Christian. If you haven't got love, you haven't got God. And obviously he's talking about agape love. Because human love, we find that amongst sinners. Amen. Hollywood can express human love and different forms of love, but the love of God is very different. And I think it's important for us to see the difference. We need to understand the difference. Human love can be strong and powerful and cause you to do self-sacrificing things, but it's very different. It has the jealousy. There's a selfish element. There's a selfish motive in human love.
Amen.
So God's love, on the other hand, is much higher than human love. So I want to go look at the scriptures again we read in the beginning. Let's go back to Matthew 5, because I think it's worthwhile to dwell on this, the words of Jesus. "And you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." And I still think people will justify that today. But Christians are called to a higher level. "But I say to you, love your enemies." Love your enemies. Now, I know I say that to some, if you say that to some people, they say, "Well, I don't have any enemies." And maybe that's true. I hope that's true. Love your enemies. "Bless them that curse you." Do we do that? When you're driving down the road and somebody's just like on a rush to get somewhere and they're just dangerously weaving in and out and they're causing, being an aggressive driver to you and they curse at you, do you bless them? Bless you. God bless you. Do we really? We need to look at ourselves. "Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you." Do we do good to them that hate us? Have you ever done anything like that? Have you ever had somebody that just really hates you and you went and did good for them? Praise the Lord. "Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." pray for them. Now, I don't believe Jesus is saying, pray a judgment upon them. What do you think he's saying? Pray for them. Pray until you break through where you don't hate them. You don't feel bad at them. I believe when we pray through our flesh and we pray through into the presence of God, that nobody looks bad to us. And we have an understanding that it's a demon spirit on people that causes them to act that way. And that actually when we really pray through into the presence of God, we can actually have compassion for somebody who's against us because we realize they're a prisoner. Have you ever broken through like that? Have you ever really gotten the presence of God when you say, it's not them? It's not them. We were listening to the adoption series, a wonderful series of sermons, and Brother Bam talked about that. He says, listen, you know, it's not them. It's them, but it's not them. Okay? And we need to get that. If someone is doing you wrong, and they're obviously wrong, it's not them. It's a spirit. So love is that nature of God that can break through that. But if you're offended and you're spiteful and you're bitter, that actually just feeds that because that's another bad spirit. And then you got two bad spirits just escalating into the devil just smiling, laughing at us. Look at them so-called Christians. We can tweak them. We watch them. We study them. We know their buttons. We just push this button and it sets them off. And they just laugh at us. But a Christian filled with the love of God and the Holy Ghost. See, blessed is he that's not offended in me. Blessed is he that doesn't get offended. I think our goal should not be offended by anybody. We should wake up in the morning and say, if somebody tries to offend me, I forgive them already. So I beat you to the punch. No matter what you're going to do, you can curse at me, you can treat me badly, you can do whatever to me, but I've already forgiven you because I realize that's the devil doing that. So I'm not offended at you. That was a test predestinated before the foundation of the world, and I passed already. Because I refuse to let my spirit become bitter, really accepting a bitter spirit. I refuse to accept a bitter spirit because somebody else is bitter. Why should I allow somebody who's not right with God to make me not right with God? Why should I give power to somebody else to destroy my relationship with God because they did me wrong and now I'm all offended and now I'm wrong? Help us, Lord. Amen. See, the love of God just pierces all that. Says, I'm going to love you no matter what you do to me. Because that's the love of God. The love of God is not filial love. If you do this, then I'll do this. The love of God says, I'm going to treat you well no matter what you do to me. Because I have a revelation. Is everybody here today? Amen. Praise God. Help us, Lord. This is one of my favorite subjects because I need this. I need it. I need more of the love of God. I can see what His love is, and I want more of that. I don't want just human love. Human love's all right to a certain level, but then it fails. God's love never fails. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is calling us to that high, much higher love than human love. And you know, he says, if you love them that love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Listen, if your love is no greater than somebody in the world, yeah, that's not much different, right? If you salute your brethren only, do not the publicans. Jesus is telling us there's a much higher love than a selfish human love. Human love depends upon what others do to you. God's love is not dependent on what others do to you. Right? Can you imagine if every time we did wrong, God would change his mind about loving us, we'd be dead. Every one of us would be dead and in hell. But God's love projects to people while they're still in sin, while they're still wrong. See, what we need to understand is the power of the love of God. God's love, like him, it looks so humble, it looks like it won't work, but it's the only thing that can penetrate, that can really penetrate to another soul. Amen. When they see that you love them no matter what they do. Praise the Lord. God's love so much higher. His love projects towards those that aren't loving him back. Human love is, it projects, well, I can love you if you love me. That's human love. In other words, you go first, and then I'll bestow such a sweet love on you. There's like who's that, Nat King Cole that sings that song? We laugh about it. Nat King Cole, I'm sorry about this, but there's this song, When I Fall in Love. He's got a great voice. And I don't have albums or anything. I just heard it on somewhere. When I fall in love, it will be forever. Right? And of course, I can't sing it. But then the words go, but how does it go, Maureen? If I fall in love, the moment that I feel that you feel this way is the moment I fall in love with you. And that's what I'm saying. I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. That's really... The moment that I feel that you feel first, and that's the way a lot of people are. The moment that I can feel that you really love me, that's when I'm going to love you. That's not God's love. That's human love. That's earthly love. Amen. And you know why that's such a failure? Because people fail. And I'm going to let you know a secret. Not just other people fail you. You fail other people.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I want his love. I want that higher love. I want that kind of love that no matter what anybody does to me, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how they act, no matter how many devils they got on their back, I can love them. Because I see through the spirits and I see the soul that is in desperate need of God. I see it. Does it hurt? Sure. Does it hurt if someone says something? Yes, it hurts. But it shouldn't hurt you to the place where you become bitter. That's a lack of understanding. That's a lack of revelation. It's, you know, really, there's a lot of people full of pride that say, "You said what to me? Don't you know who I am?" God doesn't do that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You all right?
Amen.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
I remember I was preaching somewhere, and this sister, real precious sister, she comes up to me and she says, "I felt like I was having spiritual surgery." I never thought of it like that, but the word penetrates.
Amen.
And Jesus' words penetrate us.
Amen.
And they cut us.
Yes.
Let it cut. That's the only way you're going to make progress. Let him cut out what's wrong, abandon your old ideas, and let's accept his ideas. So, God's love is perfect love. And that's the subject today, is perfect love. Because perfect love is different than human love. It's God's love. God's love is unconditional love. Do we know what unconditional is, right? No strings attached. God's love is not selfish. God's love, rather, is self-sacrificing love. It's pure love. It reaches out. It projects unreasonably to others. There's no reason to it. It doesn't make sense. Why would you love somebody that hates you? Why would you love somebody that's cursing at you? Why would you bless those that persecute? Why would you do that? It doesn't make sense. Because it's higher. It's much higher. It's looking beyond this life to the God of all creation. Verse 43, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you, persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what I love in that next verse there? That ye may be the children of your Father. It says, for he, now it kind of backs away and it talks about God, for he maketh his son, is the son God's? Sure, the whole creation is God's. He maketh his son to rise on the evil and the good. You know, sometimes the sun can be blistering hot, right? And you want a little shade, but sometimes the sun is just so warm and it feels so good. Where would we be without the sun? He maketh the sun to rise, and when the blessing of the sun comes to this earth, it doesn't say, well, I'm going to bless the well-behaved people. But those that don't behave, you're not going to get any sun today. No, his sun rises on the evil and the good. And Jesus talks about this in the middle of talking about who we should love. Don't just love those that love you. He's saying, love everybody. Love the good and love the evil. Is that what he's saying?
Amen.
Am I looking at this wrong? His sun rises on the evil and the good. And the rain today,
amen.
Did the rain say, okay, we're just going to rain on the beautiful flowers. We're not going to rain on the weeds. You know what's interesting? I mean, the weeds seem to flourish more than the flowers do. There's a mystery in that somewhere. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So just remember those things. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4 again, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Of course, he's talking about God's love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And look at verse 9. I want you to catch this. There's something in verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. So when we talk about the manifestation of God's love toward us, how is this love manifested to us? In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Now John's talking about perfect love here. How it was manifested. How did God manifest his love? Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He came. Now, we have an advantage having a revelation of the Godhead. We know that he came as in the office of Father, and then the same Spirit came in the office of Son, because the Bible plainly declares Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
So, all that the Father was in Christ. All that was in Christ comes into us in the Holy Ghost, right? So we don't see three different persons. So when we say the Son came, we know that he came himself. God came himself, and what he did, God is a just God, and you can look at the judgments of God as part of the nature of God, and he's very severe in his judgments. Is that true?
Amen.
You can look at the Bible and very severe.
Amen.
When mercy is spurned, judgment will follow. But we can never forget, he came himself to bear the judgment of God for us.
Amen.
He took on the judgments of God for us. In this was manifested the love of God.
Yes.
For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. He came himself. That was the projection of love. See the self-sacrificing love of God? When he manifested Christ, he manifested himself. But then when he manifested his love, he didn't manifest the love that was selfish. He manifested the love that was willing to die for others.
Amen.
That's love. And when we die daily to self for others, that's Christ living through us. I know it's kind of deep and heavy, But yet it's actually simple, isn't it? Sometimes the simplest things are the hardest things to embrace. You can live your life selfishly every day and sit on a church pew and say, I'm a Christian. But if God's love is in us, it's different. It's higher. You are a different kind of person. People look at you and say, they're different. I've seen somebody curse them out and they just blessed them. They didn't get upset. Or are we just like the world and we're easily offended and we curse those that curse us and we got all these requirements on everybody. We got all these expectations on everybody. I truly believe, and this is my personal belief, you don't have to accept it, that our expectations of everybody in our life, your husband, your wife, your children, your neighbor, everybody, your other church members, our level of expectations should be zero.
Amen. It's good, brother.
We don't have any. They can't disappoint because I don't have any.
Amen.
You can't disappoint me. You can't offend me. Right. What a beautiful way to live.
Amen.
You cannot offend me. You can be offensive, but you can't offend me.
Amen.
But that, in the opposite, our expectations of God should be infinite.
Amen.
God keeps his promises. Instead, we find I find the exact opposite amongst Christians. No expectations of God and extremely high expectations of everybody you live with. That's not the love of God.
Amen.
That's selfishness. It's pride.
Amen.
God, cut it out of us.
Amen.
Cut it out of us. Can you imagine living amongst the people where you couldn't offend anybody? Can you imagine? I'm struggling.
Amen.
Imagine living amongst people that can't be offended, that forgive as soon as you do something wrong.
Amen.
Immediately. Forgive. When we all get to heaven. But why can't we have it here? See, if we're filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a big if. There's a serious if. If we claim to have the token on display, the token on display is the love of God on display. God is love. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I got a lot. Let me push through because I have a lot more here I want to talk about. Praise God. Hearing is love, verse 10. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. See, here's love. Not that we love him, but he loved us. That projection of love. He loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the substitute sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And look how that fits in verse 12. It's kind of awkwardly in there. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and God's love is perfected in us.
Amen.
So if that God of all eternity lives in us, no man can see God, but then they can see God's attributes through us. God's attributes through us. Faithfulness, long-suffering, love, faith. Oh Lord, live in us. Verse 18, there is no fear. I love this now because there's many people bound in fear and they claim to be Christian people. But there is no fear in love. But perfect love, the love that we're talking about, casteth out fear because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. See, some people fear, they may fear many things. They fear that people that do wrong are getting away with it. I don't have that. Thank God I don't have that. Nobody gets away with anything. Even if it looks like they got away with it. Look, at the Catholic system for years thought they got away with something, but they're being exposed right now. Now the Pope, he may get away with it, and all the past popes here in this life, But on the other side, they're not getting away with anything. Can't we see that? Nobody gets away with anything. Some men's sins go before the judgment. See, when you repent and confess your sins to God. But some men's sins follow after. The great white throne, when the books are opened.
Hallelujah.
You know, the greatest thing that you can do is repent and confess your sins to God. Because the Word of God says He's faithful to forgive you of your sins. Now, it's not comfortable to admit to God what you've done wrong, but it's the smartest thing you can ever do.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Repentance is the greatest bargain.
Amen.
To truly repent. Help us, Lord, to see. Some people fear and are tormented that they need to fix everything. I'm against that. You can't fix everything, and if you get involved, you're going to make it worse.
Amen.
No, God requires me to fix everybody and fix everything because I'm so blind that I need more fixing than anybody. That's what you find. Somebody that's always pointing out other people's faults. They got a problem.
Amen.
You know, Brother Green used to say, you know, whenever somebody was making an issue, usually you find out that they're the issue. Whenever someone's making an issue about somebody else, usually you'll find there's an issue with that person. They need to fix something. They got to fix somebody. They got it all figured out. Things aren't as they should be because nobody's doing what I say. It's a terrible way to live. Where is the trust in God? You know what I believe? Things don't look as they should be, but God's in control.
Amen.
God knows exactly what He's doing. Look at Calvary. Look at that day. It looked like everything was going wrong. They got Him. They took Him. People running scared. They crucified Him. He died on the cross. The disciples walked away saying, we thought He was the one. Everything went according to plan. Even though really they didn't understand the plan. And I believe the devil didn't understand the plan. Or he would have never let one drop of blood fall. He would have never let one soldier hit. He would have never let the thorns go in his head. He would have never pulled the beard from his face. He would have never crucified him if he knew what was coming. And the same devil that's tormenting people in this world, he doesn't realize God's in control. You and I, we'd say, sure, we'd love to see this building filled. We'd love to move the wall aside. We'd love to see packed out. We'd love to see that. But listen, God's in control. He always hides under things that look like there's nothing there. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God's in control. Don't be afraid. Don't live your life according to fear. Don't make decisions based on fear. Make decisions based on faith in God's word.
Amen.
Trusting in God. You watch it. Every decision based on that dreaded fear, not the reverence fear of God, which we should all have, but that wrong kind of fear, every decision based on that will turn out sour. Everyone. Perfect love casts out fear. And if you have fear, you're not made perfect in love. Praise God. Let me move on because I'm spending too much time. We're commanded to love one another.
Amen.
But we're commanded to love God as He loved. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And even though time's passing, I still want to read a good portion of this scripture because I think it's important.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 2. You know, I realize everybody reads their Bible, but there's something different about reading the Word verbally open in church.
Amen.
I think it has impact.
Amen.
On me. I think it's important. 1 Peter chapter 2. Yeah, if you wake up in the morning with Jamie, he reads out loud every morning. So, which was a blessing, Jamie. I'm just teasing. Praise the Lord. The brothers, where's Angel and Pete? We were in a cabin together, and we woke up to hearing Jamie read the Bible. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 2, but ye are a chosen generation, verse 9, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, We are peculiar. The Bible says so. That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. I remember when they first started saying you had to wear a seatbelt, you know, and nobody wanted to wear a seatbelt. And again, precious Brother Green, he says, just get in the car and say, obey God and put the seatbelt on. You know, it actually helped me. Obey God, click. You know, now we all do it. Hopefully everybody does it all the time. But obey every ordinance of man. Obey every ordinance of man. Submit yourselves unto every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. You say, well, we don't have a king, John. Well, kinda. As supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the peace of them that do well. For so is the will of God. Now listen, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Did we get that? Is that the word of God? Can't take that out of the Bible. Honor all men. Do all men deserve honor? No. Does the Bible say to honor them anyway? Yes. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Well, Brother John, I just can't do that. It's the word of God. Don't do it for his sake. Do it for Jesus' sake. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So you say, well, I can be a servant to that boss because he's a good boss. That's not what the Bible's saying. Be subject with all fear. Verse 19. Now look at this. We've read this many times, but I think it's worthwhile to repeat. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. What? Why is that thankworthy? To me, love is projecting. God is projected. There's faith is being projected in there somewhere. This is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffer wrong. For what glory is it when you are buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? Like I always say, if you're driving 90 miles an hour and the cop pulls you over and gives you a stiff ticket and you feel all righteous because you said, okay, officer, thank you. Well, you were wrong. What does that matter? Right? For what glory is it when you're buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered, listen, for us, leaving us an example.
Amen.
That ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Now stop right there. Christ, in this body of flesh, he suffered wrongfully. He did no sin. He did no wrong. He was perfect. But when he was reviled, he reviled not. See, when they hit him, he didn't say, you're going to get yours, buddy. He didn't do that. See, when God was manifested in flesh, he accepted it. He took on the wrong. He took on the sins of the world. He drank the cup of sins of the world. He didn't want to drink that. He didn't want to take that vile sin on himself, but he took it. He took it. Now you and I, we don't die for the sins of the world, but it says he was our example. Everybody wants to do miracles. Everybody wants to prophesy. Everybody wants to speak in tongues. Everybody wants the supernatural. Everybody wants to look like the big dude. But listen, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. It includes dying for others. It includes not responding in kind to those that revile you. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Listen, I want you to, you don't have to answer to me. You ask yourself, do I live like that? Amen. Or do I respond in kind and I'm righteous about that? You mess with me, I'm going to mess with you. It's not God. That's carnality.
Amen.
And we need to see it for what it is. Who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. I have to hurry. You're all having fellowship here today, right? So I got a few extra minutes. I hope you're not in a hurry today. You know, we don't really meet that often. And isn't this important? It's important. You know, we need to think differently. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It starts here. And then we need to accept it in our heart. The word. See, it comes in through our ears, in our mind. We start to think and understand. And you can reject or accept the word of God. Listen, you're going to go out the doors today either closer to God or farther from God. Right. And it depends what you do with his word. Amen. You can say, well, Brother John, you're just stalking here. Listen, yes, I am here. And not every word I say is right. But the Spirit of God also promised to be here.
Amen.
And if I say what this word said in the right spirit, then actually it's him today.
Hallelujah.
Why does he hide himself? I don't know. Why does he ask me to do this? I don't know. I'm not worthy to stand here.
Amen.
But God does what he wants to do.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. John 13, a couple verses I want to get through. John 13, 34. You can just look up here instead if you don't want to turn. Sean's got it up here. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you. And remember, this is at the Last Supper. This is when it's really important. The last words he's going to have. John 13, 34, a new commandment I give unto you. Do you want to obey Jesus?
Yes.
The commandments? That ye love one another, colon, as I have loved you,
amen,
that ye also love one another. Not just any kind of love, but perfect love. Godly love, agape love,
yes,
self-sacrificing love, not human selfish love, but God's love, that higher love. He wants us to manifest that. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, when you have this perfect love.
Hallelujah.
For one another. I'd love to see that. I love to see God's love in between, you know, brothers and sisters and real fellowship. You know, I was kidding around about Jamie and Pete and Angel. We had a privilege of going somewhere together up to Australia, and there was love there. It was special. It was, you know, I can't honestly say, I don't think I have had richer fellowship on this earth. Because there was no bitterness. There was no strife. There was no carnality. There was nothing. It's like, can I help you? Can I help you? I felt such an honor to be there. But that's the way it should be. It's an atmosphere gets created.
Amen.
It's an atmosphere that we're, do you realize that Brother Brandon said we're amateur gods? Listen to that adoption series. You can walk into a room and create an atmosphere. he talked about his wife and the visitors coming to his house and all the strife. And she's like fretting, Bill, Bill, Bill. And the kids are arguing and fighting. And he's like, amateur God.
Amen.
He's like, Holy Spirit, come. He's praying within himself. He's praying and he's using the wisdom of God and the humility of God. And he walks up to her. And what's he do? He touches her on the shoulder.
Amen.
It's all right. Let me help you with the dishes. Servant attitude. Right? He didn't walk in and say, oh, be quiet and just do the dishes and fix those kids over there. That doesn't work. That's not how God would do it. I believe God was showing Brother Branham was not God, but that was an example of what the Holy Ghost would do. He'd come in and he was gentle and he was kind. And he says, you know, I saw that dress in the window. That'd be nice to get that dress. And she's like, oh, Bill, Bill, I don't know. And then the atmosphere changed. You know the story.
Amen.
He said, I looked over. The kids were playing together nicely. The atmosphere changed. Too many times we try to correct the thing instead of focusing and saying, Jesus, come. Change the atmosphere. God's love will change the atmosphere. Doesn't the Bible say, a soft answer turneth away wrath?
Yes.
Have you ever done that? No, I'm too busy yelling back.
Amen.
Try it. I remember I used to work as a security guard somewhere, and there was this old crotchety guy, and he was miserable to everybody. And I was reading my Bible, happened to me that day, and it says, he'll make even your enemies to turn, you know, to you, something like that. I forget the exact scripture. And I said, Lord, that's your word.
Amen.
You can make it happen with him, because he's the crotchetiest old guy I've ever met in my life. I'm telling you, the word of God is true. That man turned around. I almost fell over when he said something nice to me. I was like, God's word is true. Prove it. Take action on the word of God. John 15, 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. How do we stay in the love of God? Keep his commandments. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. He wants his joy. Don't you want Jesus' joy in you? That my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. See, that's self-sacrificing. Not, how dare you talk to me like that. That's pride. You're full of pride. If you walk around easily offended by everybody, you're filled with pride.
Amen.
Don't kid yourself. It's self-righteousness and pride. If you were filled with the love of God, you wouldn't let it be offensive. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
God's love's perfect. Humans love selfishly motivated. It's all about you. God's love, it's about him and what he's done. Remember, God's love is not, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. God says, I'm going to love you unconditionally. Human love says, well, when you shape up, then I'll love you. That's not God's love. God's love is perfect, and it's projected towards sinful mankind. Romans 5, 6. For when we were yet without strength, I love this scripture, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When did he die for us? When we were without strength.
Amen.
For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's not waiting for somebody to shape up. While they're in a pathetic, sinful condition, that's your opportunity. Show love to them. Project love to them. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're not to be like the rest of the world. We're supposed to be different.
Amen.
If God lives in us, we're going to be different. We're going to look different. We're going to act different. We're going to talk different. We're going to love different. Because God is different. Our goal is not to know more than others. not to think we're better than others. Our goal, my goal, is to let Jesus live through me. And that means self has to die. That means I got to humble myself. Right? I got to die to myself. Let him love, that perfect love, through us. And you know what? No doubt it'll take the Holy Ghost. I don't believe you can do it without the Holy Ghost. I've had people come to me when I talk about this subject saying, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. Well, I agree. But he can.
Yeah.
He can. But I find nothing within me that can do that. Okay, seek the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because that's what he is. He is God and he changes not. Let's keep pressing towards the prize.
Amen.
Trying to finish here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Isn't it a worthy cause to press for?
Amen.
Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Isn't this wonderful? And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Everybody stops there. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. But my Bible has a comma.
Amen.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though, look at Paul here. I think we all can have the same sentiment. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Don't you feel like you're caught up into something?
Glory, Lord Jesus.
And you look at yourself and say, listen, I'm not there yet. But I'm caught into something, and I want to apprehend that which I've been apprehended to.
Amen.
There's more. There's more for us. Praise God. Apprehend that which Christ. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to finish in a minute here, and we'll have a fellowship meal, but I really would like you here to pray about this and seek God and say, Lord, help me to yield in such a way where your love lives for me. Help me to humble myself. Help me to take the hit. Jesus took the hit on Calvary. He took the hit for us. And that's the example. We take the hit for others. We don't take a hit and then hit back. Remember, David manifested Christ when Saul was there, right? And Saul was trying to kill David. So in a logical sense, David had every right to kill Saul, right? He's trying to kill me. He threw a javelin at me. Did David throw it back? He didn't throw it back. And then God places David in a cave where David's hiding. And then David's, can you imagine his mighty men standing there going, perfect, perfect, I'll do it. David, let me kill him. Right? Do you think that happened?
Amen.
David, can't you see how wonderful God is? He placed this lunatic right in your hand so we could kill him. He says, I'm not going to touch him. You're not going to touch him. If anybody's going to take his life, it's going to be God. God will do it on the battlefield somewhere. The mighty men are looking at David like, David, how is this logical? It wasn't. I mean, if you read, if you're a Bible reader and you've gone through these stories, Saul was conflicted soul. Wasn't he? He was tormented by those demons. And when David went out and they cut a piece off of his clothing and he took his staff or whatever, and the king's following his, hey, and he makes fun of the guy protecting the king. I like that part. Hey, I thought you were supposed to protect the king. And then Saul says, is that David, my son? I'm sorry, David. He was conflicted. Brothers and sisters, if someone's wrong to you, they're conflicted. Amen. There's a demon involved there. They're not at peace. If we have the Holy Ghost, we should have a greater peace. Amen. Remember the woman that Brother Bram told the story? She's making the eggs for her husband. Because he was at the bar and he's drinking. And of course, he probably wasn't the best husband in the world. Amen. He was at the bar drinking. And his buddy says, there are no real Christians. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. And he goes, no, there are real Christians. He could have just said nothing. But he's like, no, I know one. No, we don't believe it. All right, I'll show you. And they go back to the house, and he treats his wife miserable, throws the eggs on the floor, and then they go outside pretending to be drunk, and then they're looking in the window. How did that wife act? Did she throw the eggs back in his face? She humbled herself. But listen, she humbled herself to God. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. And she led her husband and those men to Christ. Not her, but Christ through her, manifesting that humility, not reviling back. That's what touched. Isn't that the point Brother Brandon was trying to make in that story? That's what touched the sinner, was somebody who could take the wrong on themselves. That's projecting the love of God. Self-sacrificing love. Let me finish with this quote, adoption series. And listen, you know, during the midweek services, we're listening to tapes, and I realize everybody can't get here, but please, on your own, I think it, if you're not listening to Brother Ram's sermons, you're really missing out. Amen. Adoption series, in the fourth part, Brother Ram reads the scripture, to whom we have also obtained an inheritance. What we inherit, what? Eternal life, being predestinated. How? Does everybody understand that? Did you call on God? No, God called you. Some people say, oh, I just sought God and sought God. You did not. No man ever sought God. Amen. It's God seeking man. Jesus said, no man come to me except my Father draws him first. See, it's in the nature of man to run from God. And you say now that's what bothers me, though, to preach to you people. Don't remain in the same condition you've been going in. Change now. Hear me, I say it. Thus saith the Lord. I've never called myself this. I'm not, but you call me your prophet or a prophet. The world believes that. The world around, millions and millions and millions of people. I spoke directly and indirectly to 10 to 12 million people. More directly speaking, I've seen tens of thousands of visions, signs and wonders, and not one of them have ever failed. That's right. He foretold me things that's never failed to happen exactly. I'll bring any man to trial for that. That's right. I don't claim to be a prophet, but you listen to me. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
It'll take perfect love to put you in that place. For that's all that was there. He had been talking about going beyond the curtain of time. He had been talking about when he was translated. He hesitated to say it, but I believe he was translated. And he went beyond the curtain of time. And he said it was perfect love. He said words can't describe it. And now he says, thus saith the Lord, it'll take perfect love to put you in that place, for that's all that was there, no matter how much religious demonstrations, how many good deeds you've done or whatever you've done, that won't count for nothing on that day. It'll take perfect love.
Amen.
So whatever you do, you lay aside everything else until you're just so filled with the love of God till you can love those that hate you. Love those that hate you. He goes on to talk about how it's not, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back and everything. You can listen to the sermon. Sean, just go down to the end of that. It's all because of love. The next yellow part there. It's because of the love. The thing that I want to do is when I cross that last breath yonder, which may be 5 minutes from now, it may be 2 hours from now, maybe 50 years from now, I don't know when it'll be. When it does, I do arrive there. I want to see the splendor of youth running, hollering, my darling brother, my brother. That's what's in my heart. That's why I don't try to disagree with you to be different. But what I'm trying to put you on the road that's right, that's the way in. Not your church, not your denomination, but your birth in Christ. Oh my. Let's all stand. The love of God. How rich and pure. How measureless and strong. Amen. It shall forevermore endure. Amen. The saints and angels. So let's bow our heads. Dear Father, Lord, how we need your love in this day. How many times we failed you, Lord. How many times we've been selfish. We've riled back. Your word says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Help us to commit all things into your hands. Help us to realize that you're in control. Lord, it's my desire that your sweet spirit would live in us and have preeminence. Grant it, Lord. Pour out your spirit upon us today. May your word strike deep into our souls. And may we yield to the Holy Ghost. If there's one here today that never received your spirit, may today be the day. May they be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. May that sweet love of God enter into their soul. May they see something they never seen before. May they look at the world different. May they see, Lord, your hand. Bless each one today, Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 93, the love of God. Let's sing that to him now today. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star.